Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 4th of March, recording at 9:45 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets softer in here today for the most part. China had a small downward dynamic. It was actually technically a daily key. And the trigger for that was a little bit one more step in the tightening of credit conditions. Now, that spilled over into Europe, although some of those stock markets began to pick up, and Europe closed mixed with some gains, some losses. The Americas were also mixed, although Wall Street closed not far off its highs, but we're talking about gains of 0.5% or less on the main indices. And Brazil was a little bit higher, but only about 0.25%. So quiet day overall. Now, long-dated government bond prices were also quiet, but slightly steadier. The U.S. dollar, however, had quite a decent rally in here today, and we're talking about a gain of 558 points on the U.S. dollar index. That takes it back up to 80.5. And for instance, the euro dipped that back below 136. It's currently at 135.82. That's down 115. And the Aussie dollar, for instance, is down a half a cent. What else do we see here? Sterling. Sterling's at 150.34. So that's down a little bit. Now, precious metals against that background have been easier today, although off their lows. But we've still got silver down nearly 20 cents, and gold bullion's down $8 at 1131.90. Interestingly, palladium, which had been the leader previously, was quite strong, up $10.25. The industrial metals were mostly lower. I think aluminium was the one exception, and it was only up slightly. Agricultural commodities were mostly weaker here today. And I see actually looks as if soybeans were down quite a bit. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, now stock markets have had a good run over the last 3 weeks or so, rallying up from their 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts, which we often post. And I think that we could say now that first, that move, as I've been mentioning on a daily basis, that move increases the probability that we have seen nothing more than a normal correction, and that stock markets will range higher over the medium term. And there's an outside chance that they could do better than range higher, that they could sprint higher, because some of the patterns are quite large. The trading range patterns have persisted for a number of months. That may happen with a few stock markets that are particularly favored. And you can bet that if that is going to happen, that it will be the stock markets that break out on the upside first. And we will be commenting on that as we always do. Now, we may also see stock markets pause near the upper side of their ranges, because they have had a decent move over the last 3 weeks or so. And that has reversed a short-term oversold condition into a short-term overbought condition, if you look at the stochastics indicators. So we may may see this may see a little pause and consolidation in here, but again, the balance of evidence suggests that we have seen no worse than a normal correction, and that markets are going to move somewhat higher. But don't be surprised if we get a little bit of ranging here before that occurs. Now, on China, a lot of people say, well, China's engaged in monetary tightening. I would beg to disagree, beg to differ. What China has been doing is restricting credit. Now, that's not exactly the same thing. The Chinese are not letting the banks lend as much money. They're requiring that the banks keep more money on deposit relative to the loans that they have outstanding. The Chinese government is not draining the economy of liquidity. It's not raising short-term interest rates, and I don't think it will any time soon, despite the fact that you've got quite a strong economy there. Or if it does raise interest rates, and I would expect China to raise interest rates before the U.S. raised interest rates, it will be a while yet, I suspect. So these monetary conditions remain favorable. Now, when the Fed, staying on this subject, when the Fed raised the discount rate, a lot of people said, "Oh, well, then we're going to see a federal funds rate hike quite soon." And I don't think they know their history or the Fed mandate, because the Fed's mandate is price stability and full employment. Now, we have anything but full employment at this stage. As a matter of fact, the unemployment figures are mostly edging higher. And because we have relative price stability in the USA right now, because there's enough slack in the economy, partly due to that unemployment, the inflationary pressures have not built up all that much. So the Fed really can concentrate on that second mandate, which is employment. And we'll then have the factor of an election coming up this year. And while the Fed would not be deterred by that if it appeared to be ignoring its mandate, and it's not ignoring its mandate right now. And ideally, the Fed would like to see several months of improving employment figures before it started to raise the federal funds rate. And as we have price stability, I think there's very little chance that the Fed will be bumped into a premature hike in the federal funds rate. Okay, moving on now. What about these long-dated government bonds? A lot of people, of course, have said very loudly and clearly that they were the short of the century, or the short of the decade, or that every man, woman, and child should be short the bonds, that long-dated government bond yields can only go up. Well, I feel that over the longer term, that long-dated government bonds probably can only go up with one big proviso. And that proviso is, take the U.S. for instance, that the Fed has been sufficiently successful with its quantitative easing to ensure that the U.S. does not slip into a Japan-style deflationary trap. Now, we can't be sure, or I don't feel that I can be sure about that yet. My hunch is that the Fed probably has succeeded in that, but it's certainly not a given at this stage. And I'm also keeping my eye on the charts when I say that, because those long-dated government bond prices and long-dated government bond yields are still ranging, as you know. Now, looking elsewhere, and what point was I going to make on that Fed activity? Well, I think that's pretty much it, or it may come back to me here in a moment. But remember that dual mandate that the Fed has: price stability and also full employment. And that will stay the Fed's hand in terms of an interest rate hike anytime soon. Now, that's good news in terms of monetary conditions remaining favorable for a while longer. What's a while? Well, over the medium term, meaning the next few months at least. And commodities. Well, the global economy is continuing to recover. I don't think that we're going to see any big squeeze in China, as I've already said. And China, of course, has been the biggest buyer. But as the rest of the world continues to pull out of recession, I'm talking now mostly about the OECD economies, because the fuller money themed economies are not in recession and have not been in recession. So, I'm talking, of course, about the developing, or I should say, progressing Asian economies. I'm talking about the South American commodity exporting economies, and I'm talking about the developed country commodity exporting economies. They're doing okay, thanks. So that's contributing to demand for the resources, because those commodity exporters are also involved in their own infrastructure projects, which they can afford. And as we see the OECD economies improve, that will increase demand as well. The United States certainly needs an infrastructure overhaul. The UK certainly needs an infrastructure overhaul. The UK's infrastructure overhaul, such that it is, and sadly, we're not going to get all that much, but that would not be a big variable in terms of the demand for commodities. A stronger US economy would. Okay. That background, I think, is broadly positive for industrial metals. Now, what about precious metals? A lot of people feel that the dollar has to slump or inflation has to go through the roof for the gold price to do well. Well, I would just add that for the price of gold in US dollars, and that's the way most of us trade it, but for gold in US dollars to move higher, and I think I'd mentioned that price, but it's currently at 1131 and 70 cents, $1131. Now, if that's to go higher, and I think that it will range higher over the next few weeks at least, it does not require the dollar to slump. What it probably does require is for the dollar to stop going upwards in a straight line against the euro and sterling. The dollar has already stopped advancing against the freely floating Asian currencies, and as a matter of fact, the US dollar has been drifting downwards against those currencies, not into new lows, but it has been giving up some of the gains that it had seen in up until early last month. So that's the And I'm well. I'll finish out on that and the point on the U.S. dollar. It is a bolt hole currency. And why is it a bolt hole currency? Because it's highly liquid, and people know that. And so if they get frightened, and they are eliminating so-called risk, whether that's in stock markets or corporate bonds or anything else going, they can go into the U.S. dollar. Knowing that there's a lot of liquidity there, and they also know that the dollar tends to be firm during crises, so that helps to create a reinforcing self-reinforcing quality to that move. Now, we don't have a major crisis here at the moment, and we have all sorts of things that could go wrong. Nothing new in that. That's usually the case with the global economy. So we could fantasize about all sorts of things that could theoretically go wrong, but basically, there's a good chance that the Greek crisis is being contained, at least in the short term, and the U.S. and U.K. are still able to sell their debt in the marketplace. Stock markets are still in an overall upward trend here, so. And interest rates remain low, and that's still a favorable environment for gold. And therefore, I do think gold will be pushing higher. We don't need massive inflation for gold to go higher. What we do need, and what we have, is that increasingly over this last decade, and this is something that veteran subscribers will recall that has been forecast by this service over and over during the last decade. That gold has gradually been remonetized in the eyes of investors, and they regard gold as hard money relative to the paper stuff. And of course, that's got to be right. Now, that doesn't mean that gold goes up every day or all the time, but if you look at the charts in the library, go into the relative chart section, you'll see that gold is steady against most other currencies within overall upward trends, and I expect that to continue for a while. And it's also part of a secular bull market, which I think will probably continue for several more years. And we are nearing the latter stages of seasonal strength for gold, so we need to bear that in mind. But that need not mean that the price has to collapse. But meanwhile, in the short term, the seasonal factors are still favorable. And on that note, I will wish you all the very best.